Let us open our Bibles to Mark in chapter 9. Mark in chapter 9. We've been moving through this book very quickly. I know some of you still don't think that I'm speaking the truth, but I know, I have some preacher friends who managed to make it take a lot longer than a year to get halfway through. So we're doing well going through Mark here. We're in Mark chapter 9, and we do need to set the scene again. In Mark chapter 9, we have the transfiguration occurred. Three of Jesus' disciples saw him as he truly is in power and glory. And then we saw a challenge given to Jesus' disciples, the nine who weren't with him. And so when Jesus came down, he saw them in the middle of being questioned. Not just questioned as to the legitimacy of their teaching, but being questioned as to where their authority came. And then we saw the man last week who was at wit's end, whose son was possessed of a demon, and who was in danger of death every moment. And we'll begin reading in verse 24. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and fasting. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning because we face in our lives those things which would keep us from you. And we come on this morning because this is the time we gather together. But Lord, we ask that you would meet with us during this hour. Keep our attention fixed on you. Might we see your word and be impacted by it. Lord, I do pray that you would open eyes that are blind today. And Lord, for those who have any doubts or fears, Lord, that you might still them through the message this morning. And Father, we ask that you would give each of us that heart of love towards one another that upholds, encourages, and strengthens. And that as we go through this week, that we might be that light in this dark world. Lord, we thank you that you will answer your prayer, that you will hear, and that you will help. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We have here the story, but as we've said all the way through the book of Mark, more than a story, the event that occurred where Jesus is being confronted because of a demon that caused this young boy to be thrown into the fire and occasionally to have a fit and fall into the water, and that his father had to be continually looking to see if at all he could prevent him from death. And we noticed last week how this was definitely the demon's fault, not just a sickness, because it would wait until it was the most dangerous while standing next to the cliff, while standing next to the fire, not just before, not just after, but only when it was dangerous. This young man would be thrown into a fit that would then put him in danger of his life. And we saw last week that the father of the child had an accusation of Jesus, and his accusation in verse 20, He said, if you can. Nope, that's not the right verse. I wrote down the wrong one in my notes. End of verse 22. There we go. Got my place again. But if thou canst do anything, that is, if Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And we saw last week that Jesus turned that question around, and he then said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And we saw that belief brings us great deal of possibilities. Again, do not think that if you believe, you have all things. You cannot change things by your belief. But if God wills it and you believe it, it can be done no matter how impossible. That's the way to read verse 23. We then have the response of faith. And that's really what I'd like to title the first part of this message, is the response of faith. We had Jesus saying, if you can believe, all things are possible. The immediate response of this man, who was saying, I don't even know if you can do anything, Jesus. But now that he's been challenged to believe, look at his response there. It says, and straightway. The most popular word in Mark, straightway. Most popular one. He uses it all the time. But it's always for emphasis that something occurs immediately and straightway. The father of the child cried out. I want us to first see that this response was not a thought out, planned, slow going response, but this was his immediate heart's cry. He didn't wait. He didn't say, oh, well, give me a couple hours to think about it, Jesus. He didn't say, I'm going to go home, I'm going to eat a meal, have a good night's sleep, and then come back. No, as soon as he heard the challenge, he immediately responded. This is a challenge for each one of us. When Jesus cries out to you, if you can believe, our response needs to come immediately. And straightway, the father of the child cried out. Notice also that he was not calm. This father who was at his wit's end saying, Jesus, if you could do anything. As soon as he hears that there's the possibility of hope, he cries out. It is an emotional response. I do have to warn us. We're going to look at what faith is in just a moment, and faith is not emotion. But faith should be accompanied by emotion. It should be the natural reaction of faith. Emotion should come with faith. But they are not the same thing. You cannot say to me, oh, well, I had an emotion, therefore I have faith. Instead, you can say, I had faith and it even moved me to tears. Notice, not only did he cry out there in verse 24, but he said with tears. I want us to contrast that with what he said earlier. When he came to Jesus, he cried out to Jesus. He answered him. He said, I brought my son to your disciples and they could not cast him out. He seemed frustrated. He seemed at his wit's end. He describes the situation of his son and you can see him shaking his head. Oftentimes he throws himself into the fire and we can't do anything. There's nothing more for us. No one can help us. If you can help us, Jesus. But now notice, he is crying out with tears. He was hardened to the pain and suffering of his son. And as describing those things, he was not moved to tears. But when he now cries out to the Lord Jesus with faith, he cries out with tears. If our faith has led us to Jesus, and yet it has never led us to cry over our sin and our lack, then I challenge you, are you sure that you have found faith? Or have you just found knowledge? Have you just found information that you liked? Christian, we should be just as moved with tears at the cry of our Savior, "Canst thou believe?" And our response should be with tears, the same as this father. I want us now to look at the words of his answer and then consider what faith truly looks like. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." We find here his answer is, "I want that possibility, all things. I want anything that could be done. I want that. Jesus, I believe that you can do it. Help my unbelief." We have belief and unbelief in the same sentence here. And truly, this is how each of us approach Christ. And we'll look at what kind of unbelief this is that's described here. There are two kinds of unbelief. He says, "I believe." But we quickly jumped over the word "Lord." And now we need to sit on that for just a moment. Up to this point, he has been respectful. He has been approaching Jesus as master in verse 17. He has, you know, given him some titles and been very polite to him. But notice now he says, "Lord." He is claiming Jesus as one who can command him. He is not just saying, "I think that you might possibly be able to help me," but he's saying, "You're a Lord, you are given power and authority, and I believe you." Notice he doesn't say, "Lord, I believe that you can do this or that," but he says, "I believe you." He believes Jesus. He believes that Jesus can do things and that he needs to believe. Notice also, in the midst of his belief, he is crying out to Jesus. You might think, well, this man has no belief. He doesn't really have belief because he has unbelief mixed with it. But notice who he is crying out to. He is crying out to Jesus. And he is crying out to Jesus, "Help thou." He knows that Jesus has the ability to do the impossible and help his unbelieving heart to be more believing. In other words, he believes Jesus. He just has some uncertainty. If I were to define this unbelief that is mentioned here in verse 24, I would call it just that, uncertainty. Who here has ever been uncertain of something? You know, you've been asked a question and you don't even know if you're in the right course at school. You're like, they asked me 2 + 2 and I thought, apple? I don't know. I'm uncertain about this answer. And you wrote it down and then you got back the test and you're like, "Oh, nope, I got it wrong." You were uncertain about it. Here, this man is uncertain. He isn't settled, confident, and yet he believes. He is moved to trust. Trust is a very hard thing. Belief, trust, these are synonyms. They're equal terms here. I believe, he is saying, "Lord, I trust you. Help me because I'm uncertain, because I have doubts, I have fears." There is another kind of unbelief or disbelief, and it is the kind that turns its back on something. The scribes were a great example of that kind of unbelief. They did not believe that Jesus was truly the Messiah who had come, and they rejected him because of it. They turned their back on him. They would not listen to his message. They did not want to hear him. They saw miracles done right before them, and they said, "That's not worth it. That's devils are doing that. they accused Jesus of being a demon or demon-possessed rather than believe Jesus. They didn't just have a confusion about who Jesus was. They disbelieved. They turned their backs on him. They hardened their hearts towards him. And so we need to see the difference here. This man has come not knowing, being told something and saying, God, I want to believe. Jesus, help my unbelief. Help me in my uncertainty, in my lack of knowledge and assurance. He had enough belief to take that first step, though, didn't he? He had that enough belief to open his mouth and say, Lord, help me. You know, if he didn't believe Jesus at all, he would have just turned around at this point. After Jesus said, canst thou believe? And he would have said, nah, can't do it. I don't trust that you can do it, Jesus, and walked away. That's what he could have done at this point. But instead, he takes that step forward towards Jesus and he says, help me to believe. Notice, he recognizes a fault in himself. He had brought his son to the disciples and he had cried for them to help. But he had never really believed that they could do anything. And then when Jesus is brought before him, he doesn't think Jesus can help him. He says, if you can do anything, he doesn't believe that Jesus can do it. But now he says, Jesus, I know you can change my believer. That's not a word. You can change my heart to have faith. I know you have at least that much power. Help me. This is the same cry each one of us should cry out every day. None of us can say we understand God perfectly. We love him perfectly. We never have a doubt or a fear. We never wake up in the morning and look around us and fail to consider God. There are days like that. Each one of us faces those times when we do not see God. And we need to cry out, God, help my unbelief. Help me to believe you more. Help me to walk by faith, trusting you, just as that song we sang, simply trusting him. We each need to do that. And for some of you, you actually find yourself in the same situation as this father. You've been introduced to Jesus on a number of occasions. Maybe you've heard some of his miracles, walking on water, casting out demons, healing a blind man who was born blind. All of those miraculous things that are impossible to replicate even today. And he did those things. And you hear that and you say, okay, I've heard of this Jesus guy, but I don't know if I can believe him or not. I would challenge you. The question is not, have you believed, but rather, can you believe? Can you believe? Can you believe him? Will you choose to believe him today? All things are possible, even your uncertainties being dealt with, even Jesus Christ becoming the most important in your life, even that can happen if we will choose to believe him. Jesus challenges the man, if thou canst believe, and you and I need to then immediately respond. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. We see that belief is not just a mental or a knowledge thing. It's not just, oh yeah, I've heard of a Jesus. I know about him. We've dealt with this passage before. The demons, they know Jesus. They believe him, but they are not rescued. They are not saved. The demons believe in God and believe in Jesus. That doesn't give them anything. It doesn't help them because they hate him. They oppose him. They are against him. If you'll turn with me very briefly, and we rarely do this, turn very briefly a couple pages forward to Mark chapter 11. And verse 23, because we actually have Jesus explaining faith again in his ministry. He does it a number of times throughout his ministry. And here he gives us an example or a challenge towards faith. We'll begin reading Mark chapter 11, verse 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. We then have an example given to us, and we'll read this one just so you don't think we're going the name it and claim it route here. In verse 25, he continues, and when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We have an example of faith. Faith is believing God. Faith is believing that God can accomplish things. Faith is believing that God is in control, and faith is then relying upon Him to do those things. In verse 24, we had our access of faith, and that is prayer. The definition of prayer is to talk to God and make our request known to Him. It is to beg Him. It is to plead with God for that which we desire. But we will not get what we have asked unless it's in God's will. That's what verses 25 and 26 tell us. If we have an unforgiving heart, the Father is not going to forgive us until our heart is in line, until we have learned forgiveness. Basically, we can have whatsoever we desire if whatsoever we desire is exactly what God desires. Faith is to look to God for something rather than to look to ourselves. This gives us the first truth about faith. Faith is an action word that demands an object. Faith is an action word that demands an object. I don't know if you know, in English you've got your verbs that are not action words, like be. To be, that's not an action word. You just are. But then you have action words like run, jump, sing. Faith is an action word. And the object of this action is God. If we do not have God as the object, our faith is worthless. This man here in Mark chapter 9, and you can turn back there again, this man is looking straight at Jesus, who is God, and he is saying, I believe. He is taking action to trust Jesus right in that moment. He is putting his faith in Jesus to accomplish this. He is not putting his faith in a formula. Just so you know, the Jewish nation had a number of exorcists at this time. And they would, through ritual, try and cast out demons. None of them were anywhere near successful like Jesus. But Jesus, when he cried out, leave them, there was no ritual, there was no formulistic set of words, he just did it. When this man cries out, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, he doesn't say, and now begin your set of identified, certified functions. Don't start your ceremony. Instead, he cries out, "You are the one. Thou art the one." Jesus is the one who can help his unbelief. Jesus is the one who can heal his son. It has nothing to do with a ritual or a certain set of words. In the same way, our faith is not repeating a certain prayer. Our faith is looking to God who is able to make the change that is necessary. It is calling out to him. Faith is not faith unless it is accompanied by the action of crying out to God. If we were to go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, and I'll just read this one to you. You don't have to turn there unless you can find it quickly. Matthew chapter 11, one of my favorite verses of Jesus calling out for people to come unto him. Matthew chapter 11, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Jesus calls out to us, "Come unto me." Faith is not faith unless the object is God. Unless the object is him. That's not saving faith unless the object is Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls out to you today, "Come unto me." What is it that you are in need of today? Are you in need of a peace treaty between you and God? We are told that the world is at enmity with God. It is continually at war with God. You and I fight God every day until a peace treaty is made, until rest is found between us and God. Maybe you're saying, "Well, I don't think I'm at war with God, but I definitely know I'm guilty before him. I have done things that are wrong and hurtful to others. I know they're wrong, and I have no way to get them right." Jesus says, "Come to me." Jesus can make things right between you and others. He also is the one who provides justification. That is, a clean slate between you and God. All those things that you have done against others have been done against God. And all of those things that you have thought about God that were angry towards him, "Lord, why did you allow this to happen? God, I hate you for this." All of those sins, they stand between you and God, and a clean slate can be attained, but only if your faith is aimed at God. That is Jesus Christ, and through him, peace with God. In the Matthew 11 passage, we heard this from Jesus: "Ye shall find rest unto your souls." It is not an earthly peace that we will find, but it is a rest for our souls that we will find. Some people call things faith that are blind, that are without any knowledge, without looking unto Jesus, or they call faith reading off a prayer, quoting a prayer. None of that will save you. But depending on Jesus, coming to him and saying, "Lord, you can do it. Help me. I trust you. Help my areas of unbelief." That will lead you to salvation. That will lead you to salvation because you've gone to the right source. You've gone to the only one who can actually help you. The world tries to change people. And when it does so, it often tries in the way of doing things by sheer willpower. And we'll get to that. There is a step of "I decide" that's coming here with faith. But we have to realize that the world wants you to just turn over a new leaf. How often does that not work? You know, and how many people will make their, I will lose weight this year, right around New Year's? How long does that last? Hours? Minutes? Not very long. Those resolutions, so-called, that the world promotes, they often do not last. Why? Because they are not based upon one who can change us. They are based upon our own feelings, our own desires, maybe self-reflection, but they are not based upon one who is unchanging, who is dependable, who is able to deliver us. We have to see that faith has an object, and that is Jesus. But it does require us to make a decision. Now, not all of us, the first time we hear Jesus and hear His name, respond like this man did here in Mark chapter 9. But we should respond in the same manner. As soon as our heart gets stirred, we should say, Lord, I believe. This required him to decide not to trust the scribes who are saying, from last week if you remember, saying, oh, Jesus, he doesn't have the authority to do it, so he couldn't pass it on to his disciples, so they couldn't cast out your demons. That's why. Or listen to the disciples who are like, well, we should be able to. We've done it before. No. He needed to make a decision. I will trust Jesus. I'll give him a chance to change my heart, to change my life, to make me different, and then to give me the salvation that I need, the deliverance I need. And so we see that faith is an action word requiring an object, which is God, and the only way to reach him is by speaking. Okay, we can't reach God with good works that we do. We can't reach God by twisting his arms. We can only cry out to him in prayer. We need to cry out to him, and then we will have faith. That's what faith is. Make that decision today to choose Jesus. Make that decision today. Jesus doesn't ask you to be perfect before you come to him. He doesn't ask you to have had faith in the past or to have done everything perfect in the past. He doesn't ask you to come and to say these specific words. Instead, he asks you to believe, to cry out to him. That's what's required. You need to do it. He says, come unto me, will you? The only reason not to come to Jesus is if you do not think that he is able to help. If you do not think that he can. That's the only reason to stand back, to hold your tongue, to not cry out to Jesus, is if you think he is unable. But if he is, you need to cry out now. We don't have time to go and look at how faith and repentance are linked together, or how faith and grace are linked together. This could be a month of sermons going down that path. But today we do have time to consider the result of this faith. The man, as he was speaking, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Did he lose faith? Or did he get more faith? I would say that he got help with his unbelief. Jesus then answered, and we will look just at the result, which is Jesus commands the evil spirit, and the evil spirit is cast out. Verse 25, the end of the verse, it says, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried out and rent him sore and came out of him. We have there the result. This man needed help for his son, he cried out to Jesus, who is God, and he said, I believe, help my unbelief. And then Jesus answered by completely getting rid of that demon. I want us to notice that he said, and enter no more into him. This wasn't a temporary reprieve or a for a short while, a little bit better. This was a permanent solution. Jesus accomplished exactly what he was asked to do, and he accomplished it completely. I charge thee, evil spirit, come out of him and enter no more into him. This is a precious, precious work of Jesus. He accomplished it. And then let me ask you this question. Did this father believe Jesus? Did he believe him after his son was delivered? Do you think Jesus helped him with his heart of unbelief after this demon was cast out? The answer is yes. Yes. God changed this father's heart. God changed this father's son. We don't have all of the details about how this young man was after. We don't know what kinds of things he said, but since Jesus cast out the demon that was keeping him from speaking, then surely this young man eventually began to speak. And surely he began to hear. Because in all of the other instances when Jesus cast out demons or healed someone, they were able to speak and to hear and to see. He accomplished what he set out to do. Jesus is the one who can heal us. Our souls are sick. They are evil. They are condemned. And faith is all that is required. Come to Jesus with faith, and you will be free. You will have rest, peace between you and God. You will have all kinds of other benefits we haven't even gone into. But Jesus offers those things if we can believe. And so the question for the last time, can you believe in Christ? Can you believe that he has the power and authority that he claims to change your heart, to build in you more faith, to strengthen you? Can he solve those impossible situations? The answer is he can. Do you believe him? Will you ask him? That is the challenge today. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I know there are some in this room today who have heard of you before, who have heard of those things that you can accomplish. They've heard words like salvation, and they've heard words like deliverance. They've heard words like sin, and they think, I'm a sinner, but I don't know if you can save me. Lord, I ask that you would work in their hearts today, that they would cry out immediately, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Father, may their attention be fixed on you. And Father, for those of us who know you as Savior, Lord, I ask that you would give us hearts of belief to believe you for victory in our life, to believe you for victory over sins that have beset us over and over and over again, that you would give us victory in our relationships and in our love for you. Father, we ask that you would give us victory through faith. And Lord, we ask these things because you alone can accomplish lasting change. And we need it. Amen.